RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is always a lot easier when your team's playing better. And I don't care if you're a Buck apologist, if you're a Buck honk. Our Buccaneers are playing better in the last couple weeks. And it's once again a victory Monday, two in a row. Last week, if you listen to In the Trenches, I was reserved on what I saw. I'm not going to be as reserved this week on what I saw. You have to figure the Bucs beating Carolina Panthers at home in a hostile environment pretty much legitimizes that 49ers win. And the 49ers win is nothing by itself. If you come back the next week and you play the Carolina Panthers, you lay an egg, and all you did was beat a shitty football team. The Buccaneers beat a good football team yesterday. We beat a reeling football team, but that Carolina Panthers team is still good enough and talented enough to beat anybody on any given Sunday. So we're definitely going to talk about that in depth. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about this Kareem Hunt thing that's going around the NFL. If you guys are not living under a rock, you've always heard about Kareem Hunt, the running back for the KC Chiefs. And they had a video out, which has been out since February, and it just surfaced, thank God, to TMZ. Without TMZ, the NFL, I don't know what they would do without TMZ. TMZ seems to get every scoop and that the NFL can't get. And if you want something bad enough, you can get anything. TMZ is, you know, an entity that is not scared to pay for a video. If the NFL thinks there's a 4% chance that there's a video of one of their star players kicking a girl in the ribs, I would think that they would pay for that. Obviously, I'm wrong. Well, Kareem Hunt, if you've seen the video, and let me say this before I talk about Kareem Hunt and what his future is going to be. The young lady on the videotape, and I say that loosely, is not innocent, all right? I think she had an ulterior motive. I think she's a pig, okay? She's drunk in a hallway in a hotel trying to get in a football player's room. There's nothing good about that young lady, but she's still a victim. She's not innocent, but Kareem Hunt is sure enough guilty. I don't care how much of a pig that young lady is. You don't put your hands on her, and you certainly don't kick her when she's down. If I see a video of a guy kicking another guy when he's down, I'm going to call him a punk, okay? You're a punk. If you kick a girl when you're down, when she's down, I don't even know the words for that. But to me, the NFL is just as much guilty as Kareem Hunt for not pulling up that video and allowing him to play this whole football season like nothing happened. But if you saw the video, the girl approached Kareem Hunt, and she's an aggressive posture, but she's a 110-pound girl. She gets pushed. She comes back. Him and his boys push her down. She seems to be dazed. And instead of walking away, even he would have been wrong at that point, Kareem Hunt backtracks, goes back, and kicks the girl in her ribs while she's down. Now, Kareem Hunt came up and had an interview on ESPN and apologized, and he said all the right things. There's only one problem, Kareem. There's a video of you kicking a girl when she's down in the ribs. That's a problem. I'm not sure Kareem Hunt ever surfaces back in the NFL again. And he's 23 years old, 23, 24. He's not coming back to the NFL. I don't see a team picking him up. I really don't. You know, the Redskins just picking up my boy from San Francisco, who just got, suspended, got all the backlash, and there's no video. When there's a video, it's a different feel. So good riddance to Kareem Hunt, man. You just wasted millions of dollars by just acting an ass. And you know what? if you have that in you, you got to go get yourself checked, because that was some cowardly shit that I saw in that video, that's for sure. All right, let's get back to some heroic stuff, because that's some cowardly type stuff. The Bucks impressed me yesterday. I certainly don't get impressed very easily. I thought that whatever was said in the locker room by whomever, this week, and even more so than last week, those guys came out. The feel was different. The energy was different. You know, I don't think the energy was coming from the stands, because there wasn't that many people there, and they were still chanting Luke when he made a tackle, so there was a lot of Carolina Panther fans there. But they came out of the tunnel ready to fight. And I saw a different feel to this Buccaneer team. I think this team is better without Jason Jackson, because you have a bunch of kids out there fighting for their lives, fighting for their future, and not just trying to not get hurt. And that's what I saw with Jason Jackson. Now, you know, I talk to people, you know, during the week, and people will say, well, you should just, if you're hurt at the end of the year and your team's not going to make the playoffs, you should just go on IR. Dogs don't go on IR? No way. You're going to look at your teammates and lay down on your teammates? I would never do it. I mean, I remember Tony Dungy's first year here. I hurt my back with 3 games left, and I missed the third to last and second to last game, and my back was still jacked up. And it was the last game of the season, and I remember, you know, Tony came up to me and goes, you think you could play? And I go, yep. And I played. I don't know how. I could barely walk, but I went out there and played. That has to be your mindset if you think you're going to be a successful NFL football player for years to come. So I'm happy to see that Dirk Koetter still has his players out there fighting. Nobody's laying down on him. That 49ers win now looks a lot better than it did a couple weeks ago. And to me, from the outside looking in, it looked like the atmosphere was pretty good at the stadium. People were all riled up and jacked up, and it was good to see them going out there fighting. Now, before I get over some of the particulars, I thought the refereeing was as bad as I've seen. And I don't know if there's an epidemic going on of just sucky refereeing. I watch a lot of football, whether it's college, whether it's NFL, any level of football, I watch it all. Any play over 10 yards is a flag. In every level of football. And it's getting really gross to watch, to be honest with you. There was a couple phantom holding calls yesterday. After they reviewed it, I go, since when is that a holding call? And very key moments of that game. The pass interference against Bobo Wilson at the end of the game, terrible call. Awful. He's falling. The DB has his hands on him. He falls, and the flag goes down. I mean, that changes the whole game. So, to me, the referees definitely have too much stock in what's going on in NFL games. Way, way too much. So, that being said, the Buccaneers go out. They play their ass off. Offensively, Jameis, I thought, played substantially better than he played against the 49ers, substantially better, because it's a different feel, it's a different atmosphere. And you knew against the 49ers they weren't going to score a lot of points, but you didn't know that against Carolina, that's for sure. You better not look at Cam Newton and say you're not going to score any points, although the defense did a fabulous job. But the game within the game was wonderful. I'm starting to love Godwin as a wide receiver. The previous 2 weeks he had 14 targets and 14 catches. That's a big difference what was happening with Deshaun Jackson. So you throw it Godwin's way, he's catching the ball. Some of the other good things are Adam Humphries, now that Deshaun Jackson is gone, is playing a bigger part in the game plan. I think you should almost game plan around Adam Humphries. I think he's that good of a route runner. He really is. And if he was on other teams, and he's starting to show a little bit last couple weeks, he would be one of the stars out there. Like, he's a 90-catch dude. And 90 catches is not the craziest thing in the world. 90 catches is 6 catches a game. That's not crazy, is it? Adam Humphries can do that. And some of the other things I saw was someone or somebody has been working with Jameis Winston on his internal clock. some of the bad decisions that Jameis Winston normally makes is because his internal clock is wrong. And what I mean internal clock is when you get back there and you set back and it's 3 seconds going on 4 seconds, you have to make a decision right now. And Jameis is making a decision right about 3 seconds, which is good, because between 3 and 4 seconds, a lot of bad things happen. And I see Jameis going back there for 3 seconds. I see nothing's open. Tuck it, go. Sometimes he's making a completion. Sometimes he's running for a first down. Sometimes you're getting 4 yards. Sometimes you're stepping out of bounds, getting 2 yards. Those are all things that are good. Throwing the ball across your body, other than one throw I saw Jameis make yesterday, which was ill-advised, the rest of it, I thought it was glorious. Now, you're talking about Jameis Winston, who is now number one in Buccaneer history in touchdown passes. So for all you guys that are ready to get rid of him, and listen, there was a time where I was like, I don't know if this is the dude. We have to say right now, at where we're at right now, okay, Jameis is too good to get rid of. He's too good to get rid of, all right? There's too many quarterbacks out there in the NFL that suck for us to get rid of Jameis. That's crazy. Let's build around this kid. We still don't have a right guard, okay? Benenock is not good. He's not good. He's not. Donovan Smith is not good, okay? He's not. You know, I watch the game with Tony Mayberry every week, and, you know, I'm on Benenock because Benenock's playing right guard, and that's my position, and he gets on Donovan Smith every week because Donovan Smith just makes elementary rookie-type mistakes, and he's too old to be doing stuff like that. But put some people around Jameis Winston. Man, the equation is there. If Jameis throws the ball 30 times a game, he's going to win the majority of time. If he has to throw it 45 times, like, you know, I think things are changing, but you don't want every quarterback throwing the ball 45 times. You really don't. So we have our franchise record-holding quarterback that people are rallying around right now, okay? He's the guy. So I know there's a lot of people out there that still can't stand Jameis Winston for whatever he's done off the field, and I get it. I understand it. But if you're a Buccaneer fan, you really should be cheering for Jameis Winston now. That should be your mindset. Guys, you know that we're all terrible at taking care of our health, and whether it's your knee injury, bad back, or something even worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it rather than seeing the doctor, and I'm guilty of it as well. The same is for erectile dysfunction. That's just not something you want to bring out. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't even get treated for it, and that's just embarrassing. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for your ED online. Roman is a one-stop where you can get a licensed U.S. physician and they can diagnose your ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there's no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online, and you have to do this. All you have to do is visit roman.com/trenches. That's roman.com/trenches. Fill out the brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered right to your door discreetly and in an unmarked package. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't like to tackle, but with Romans, it's easy to take care of. For a free online visit, go to getroman.com/trenches. That's getroman.com/trenches for a free online visit. Defensively, Lavonte David makes a difference, all right? Lavonte David was all over the field. The first interception was really all about Lavonte David and his instincts. He made a Derrick Brooks type of move. I'm not saying he's Derrick Brooks, he's not, but that's the kind of thing Derrick Brooks would have done, and it would have turned into an interception. You know, the Buccaneers come out and have like one interception in 10 games, and all of a sudden you can't throw the ball against these dudes. These young kids are all over the place. Now, I don't know half the DB's names. I really do. Like, Andrew Adams, I never heard a dude. He came out with 3 picks. We used to joke around way back when somebody comes out of the blue, they say he's making money. So Andrew Adams was making money yesterday. He's making people Google him. And, you know, people are talking about him today. He's making money. Elliott, never really heard much about him. And all these DBs are going to get all this great credit. But I'm going to tell you where the credit's due is the Bucs defensive line. Okay, they didn't have a buttload, and they didn't have oodles of sacks yesterday. And you look at our interior guys, they didn't have any sacks. McCoy didn't have any sacks, and Vita V didn't have any sacks. More importantly at times than having sacks is getting in a quarterback's face. Make him throw off his back foot, and that's what they're doing with Cam Newton yesterday. Gerald McCoy didn't have a sack. I thought he played as well as I've seen him play in a while. You didn't have any sacks, but you created a couple of interceptions. To me, that's even more important. So, you know, they did an okay job stopping the run. Okay, McCaffrey's going to get his, okay? McCaffrey's going to get his every single game. But he didn't kill him. But the rest of that defensive line, Nassib's doing his. JPP's the best football player we got. And we have guys fighting out there. I even saw Curry fighting out there yesterday. To me, Brenson Buckner changed the philosophy of the defensive line. They look different than they did in the first 10 weeks of the season. This is what I think he did. I think he's tried to simplify it as much as he can. I know they're trying to simplify the defense, but sometimes you can simplify the defensive line play. Tell the kids this, and I bet it was close to this. Just go hard, okay? Go hard. Stop worrying about a bunch of shit. If you got to go in the A-gap, just blow through the A-gap and see what happens. You know, whether you're Vita V or Gerald McCoy, just go and go full speed and see what happens. And I've had coaches say this. Hey, if you're going full speed, even if you make a mistake full speed, period. And to me, I saw different things. When Mike Smith was the offensive defensive coordinator, They didn't fool anybody ever. I saw a couple things the Bucs did defensively to get a couple sacks by our linebackers, which was nice to see. And just guys getting after the quarterback. Not a bunch of sacks. We had sacks, but not a gang of sacks. But they were in Cam Newton's face. Now, Cam Newton is not healthy. There's no way. His shoulder is not healthy. You saw in the middle of the game, he was kind of winding his shoulder like, you know, it was bothering him. And I think it all came, you know, to a head at the end of the game when he tried to throw that Hail Mary and he threw it about 45 yards. Shoot, I'm old and had rotator cuff surgery, and I think I can throw it 45 yards. And they brought that young kid, looked like about 5'7", and he threw it about 65 yards. So if you watch that whole game, Cam Newton just didn't look right. He looked like Jameis looked last year when Jameis's shoulder was bothering him. Even the completions were short. And you can see some of the Carolina receivers kind of looking at him like, this something's wrong. There's a couple times where, you know, just 10-yard passes are in the dirt and guys have to make amazing catches. So Cam Newton's not healthy. And I don't know how he's going to fare for the rest of this season. Now, we look beat up a little bit, too. Mike Evans does not look healthy to me. And if you watch a lot of Buccaneer football, as I do, every time Mike Evans gets hit, he looks like he's getting up from a 12-round boxing match. It's a long football season, everybody. And when you're a guy who doesn't come off the field like a Mike Evans, right about now you start hitting that wall. And he looks like he just hit a wall. And he just looks a little bit beat up to me. I applaud him for fighting through everything because I think he got a lot of dog in him. But he definitely met his match because that young kid from Carolina was locking him up for the second game. But everybody around him played well. I always ask, you know, while we're going through this losing streak, you know, who are our playmakers? Do we have any playmakers? When we went to the losing streak, there was no names coming up. Now, all of a sudden, Lavonte David's back making plays. JPP stay making plays. You're hearing McCoy's name. You're hearing Vita V's name. You're hearing Curry's name. You're hearing all these DBs you never heard of. You're hearing their names. That's a good thing. Now, there's people actually making plays out there. And this Buccaneer team looks different. Am I ready to talk about them running the table? Not yet. But it gets a little bit harder now. But the way they played the last couple weeks, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what they think. The Saints are beatable. Saints are beatable. We beat them already, which is probably not good because the odds are you're probably not going to beat that team twice. But that's the odds. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are beatable, although they've looked like world beaters here as of late. The Atlanta Falcons, they don't look terrible. They look terrible. There's some funky, terrible teams out there. Atlanta Falcons happen to be one of them. And this Buccaneer team has done a 180 in the locker room, on the football field, and mentally as well. And they look a lot more confident coming out of that damn tunnel. Now, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't a perfect game. Not complaining at all, but you know, when you're playing, you win. You got to be nitpicky regardless because there's certain things you got to clean up. We gave up too many sacks yesterday. Protection-wise, we got to get a lot better. Jameis probably got him out of about four sacks or so with his nimbleness. And the other thing that bothered me was, if you guys want to be a great offense, towards the end of the game, you got to put the game away. You can't keep on punting the ball back to a team. So there's four and a half minutes left in the game. The Bucs get the ball. They go three and out. They punt it. Carolina gets the ball. I think they go three and out. They punt it. Then we punted it back to them. Greatness doesn't do that. Greatness puts that game away offensively somehow. So that definitely has to change. But I applaud Dirk Koetter. I applaud Jason Light for not giving it up because everybody had them as dead man walking. They still might be. They still might be. You know, it's funny how things change week to week. One week, he's dead, he's gone. The next week, all of a sudden, people are talking about re-signing him and all these different things. You know, football's funny. The ball bounce is funny. And funky things happen. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lose a game yesterday. They're up by 16 points at home. That happens a lot or never. They said the Pittsburgh Steelers never lost a game at home up 16 points. Never. I was 174-1 or something like that. And they lost yesterday to the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, who I have on both my fantasy teams, and I had money on the Chargers as well, so I wasn't upset about all that. But, football's funny, man. It's a funny, funny thing. You know, the Texans lose three games in a row. Now they can't lose at all. They can't lose at all. And they look fantastic. Defensively, they're flying around the field, and they feel good about themselves. So we can be that story. The Bucs can be that story. And if the Bucs mess around and win two more games in a row, the sentiment's going to be different from everybody, from top to bottom, because what we've asked for has happened in the last two games. And we've asked for a lot, but it's happened in the last couple games. We're asking for, you know, cleaner play from Jameis. It's happened. We're asking for, you know, more oomph on our defense. It's happening. More pass rush is happening. Interceptions and turnovers, that's happening. Better play calling, it's there. So as Buccaneer fans, we should be smiling right now. Now, that smile can be turned upside down real, real quick by one bad outing. But they feel better about themselves at one buck place. And let's hope that they prepare in these last 4 weeks like it's the last games of their careers. For some of them, it might be. You never know. And I wouldn't be surprised they put DeSean Jackson on IR without even asking him. That happens. If you put him on IR, nobody asks any questions, and at the end of the year, they wipe their hands, and he's done. He doesn't just say, "This DeSean, don't say Jack. We're going to put you on IR. We're going to say your thumb is bad. You're rehabbing it. You'll be fine in a couple months, and in the offseason, let's figure out what we're going to do with you." Because I don't know if they want DeSean Jackson back in that locker room, and I don't think I do, because it definitely was a different feel of a bunch of young, hungry kids fighting instead of everybody bitching and moaning and resting on their laurels and bitching and moaning after you win a game. That was the final straw for me. I understand when you can't score points and your quarterback can't get you the ball. I get that. But when you win a game and you're sulking and you're bitching and moaning, don't nobody give a rat's ass how you feel. And I certainly don't. So things are changing, and things are definitely changing for the better. If anybody wants to email me, I got one email right here from my boy Greg DeCruz. And the question is, and I'm not going to go verbatim, he's breaking down offensive line play, and he's asking me if any coaches ever take advantage of mismatches on the offensive line. It's more than that, because, you know, if somebody has a poor defensive lineman on their line, they'll do things, they'll stunt, do different things to protect that kid. And, you know, you never know what the linebacker's going to look like behind him. So I've never really heard a coach say, this player sucks, we're going to go after him. Not a defensive lineman. I've heard it for defensive backs. I've heard it for defensive backs. And the funny part is, I remember being on the Eagles, and my offensive coordinator was one John Gruden. And we're playing against the New York Giants, and Jason Sehorn was a defensive back, and he was a Pro Bowler. And he walked up and he said, this guy can't cover one guy that we have. We're going to kill him all game long. And I was like, whoa. And that's what happened. On the other end of the spectrum, we played against Atlanta, and he said, number 21 is the best player I've seen ever. We're not going to throw to the left side of the field. That's a big difference. So there is game planning, but not so much against defensive linemen, because there's ways around that. But if anybody ever wants to email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have a couple other podcasts out there. A cannabis podcast comes out Wednesday. And in Flavor in Your Ear is kind of a pop culture. There's some politics and some shenanigans and tomfoolery that comes out on Friday. And remember, I'm back on air every day on 95.3 WDAE, also 620 AM from 3 to 7 with Ron Diaz. And we'll be breaking down football a little bit some more, what's going on in the Tampa Bay area every single day. And that's been fun. Made it through week one, and it wasn't fired, so that's a good thing. But I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast every week, and it's good for me to get this off my chest early, and you get a chance to hear what I have to say before I get on air today from 3 to 7. So thank you for listening in. This has been In the Trenches, Ian Beckles. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Hey, everybody, do me a favor right now, right this second. Stop exactly what you're doing, because I get to welcome the famous Carl Ruiz. You might know him from the Food Network, watching him on Guys Grocery Games. This is one funny dude.
Have you ever touched the goose in the bottom right corner of the Wawa menu?
No.
Okay. So on the bottom right-hand corner of a Wawa menu, there is a picture of a goose. If you touch that, it opens up the secret menu.
No.
Yeah. My daughter's taught me. What? How about that? My 17-year-old daughter taught me about it. Yeah.
Yo.
What? There's a whole secret menu in there.
Well, what's in the menu?
I mean, they've just, you know, I mean, it's a couple of the old school sandwiches, and but it unlocks, like, it's a really cool visual that starts to, I'm not even going to tell you any about it. You go and you do it, and you'll see it.
I'm on it.
You see it. Yeah, it's cool.
You just set me up with a date night right there at Wawa.
Well, I'm a late night meatball guy. Like, I will get a 15-pack, like 15 meatballs in the family pack, and I will
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.